And welcome to worship for this online or in-person joint service. It's great that you can all join with us for this time of worship together. If there's any of you that are new to watching this or joining with us, we bid you a special welcome and hope that we will encourage you to join with us again at any time for worship. There's just a usual, before we start our worship, a wee roundup of work going on in the churches. So let's start with Sheila across Echt in Midmar. What's happening there, Sheila?
Well, first of all, good morning to everybody who's joining us today. Two things to mention just very quick, or in fact, maybe three things to mention very quickly. The first is that today, Sunday, is Harvest Festival at Echt in Midmar. And our collection this year, again, is in aid of our local food banks. We support the food banks throughout the year, but it's nice to make a special effort around this time in recognition of the fact that we have so much. We're also supporters of Blythewood Care, the charity that collects shoeboxes for distribution in other parts of the world around this time. Shoeboxes are already coming in. We've got a couple more weeks to be collecting, and then we'll take them to where they're going. So we're welcoming individual items or completed shoeboxes, and we're welcoming them from all over our joint parishes. And then the 7th of November at Midmar Church morning worship at 10:15 will be a service of communion. And that's the news from Echt and Midmar.
Thank you. And I'm delighted with the box numbers that's coming in. Stella, what's happening down the road at Bledaf Chapel of Gee?
Well, we're having a baptism this morning, which is great. Little Nova will be baptised in Bledaf Church, which is the church we're worshipping in this Sunday. And it'll be great to have a wee baby, and hopefully she'll not cry this time, Ewan. on the 7th of November, we'll be having communion, and that will be in Chapel of Gee Church. And that's the news from the North End.
Thank you. And Neil and Tozzi, what's happening up at Kintore?
Well, I'll say a few things about Kintore, and then Tozzi can tell us something about Kemnay. Hi, everybody. At Kintore, just two things about COP26 coming up. The first is to let you know about the eco trails happening across at Daviot. If there's something that you're wanting to do during the school holidays and you fancy a bit of a walk in the woods, go up to Daviot. You'll get details about the woods, about the walk from the shop in Daviot. And there's a little eco trail. You can learn all about what Christian Aid is doing to assist with the climate crisis around the globe. And then at Kintore, I mentioned it last week, just a reminder, on the 6th and 7th, and again on the 10th of November, we'll be hosting an open church, Sustainable Kintore. We'll be hosting an open church at Kintore, where we'll be looking at various sustainable small businesses who are making an impact locally.
Thank you. And Tozzi, something from you about Kemnay and anything else?
Yeah, I've got just two things before I mention about Kemnay. I had a chance to visit the food bank warehouse last week, and I'm very happy to see how generous the people are as they give in order to help those in need. Yeah, then this week I'll be in Kemnay conducting the church service there, hoping to see the people there and share the word of God and share the African experience as well.
Thank you. I'm sure they'll be looking forward to that. Clooney Money Musk, we have a midweek service still be online on a Wednesday, but the rest of it is just not our normal worship for October. We're in Clooney, and in November we go back to Money Musk Church. And the first Sunday in Money Musk, we have our Sunday school, and we also have a blessing of a wee baby girl. So we're looking forward to that, and it will probably be a church full again, as it was the last time. So one other thing, just to tease you, next Sunday we might have a completely different format of service, because as soon as this recording is finished, we're going to be sitting and having a chat to see about what we can do next Sunday. Being the fifth Sunday of the month, we might try and become doing to try and do different things on the fifth Sunday. So watch this space and tell your friends that something different might happen. And after me giving you that lead, we will have to definitely have something different happening, just in case you get a bit cross. Anyway, I hope that you enjoy this time of worship, for we celebrate and we have joy in our hearts with the love of God through Jesus Christ, our Saviour. And joy our worship.
Our call to worship. We gather today to worship the one who creates us, the one who calls us, the one who equips us, the one who loves us without end. Therefore, with joyful hearts, let us worship God together. And let us do so as we open our service in prayer. Shall we join our hearts and our minds together now as we offer this prayer to God? Loving Heavenly Father, we turn to you, for you alone are the God, the font of everlasting wisdom, the light of our lives, the soul of our souls, with whom faithful people of every age have found love and life and friendship. Our minds cannot hold you, our words cannot express you, for your light and loveliness are beyond our understanding. And yet you have been our guide and companion over every mountaintop and through every dark valley of our experience. So today we offer you our worship and lift our hearts to you in praise and adoration through Jesus Christ our Lord. Loving Heavenly Father, Creator of heaven and earth, this day as all days, this moment as are all moments, is the time to worship you and give you praise. Open our eyes to the glory of your presence. Attune our ears that we may hear your voice. Expose our minds to the challenge of your truth, and fill our lives with wonder, love, and praise. God of mercy and grace, you know all our faults and failings, the ones seen by all and the ones we hide. We can be harsh in judging others, but blind to our own faults. We can be quick to look for praise and recognition of what we do, but slow to acknowledge the work of others. So often we remain silent rather than speaking words of encouragement. And so we hope to be forgiven. O Lord, teach us also to forgive. And help us by our deeds and actions to show love for one another. These prayers we offer in the name of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ.
Bible reading today comes from James chapter 2, from verse 14. Faith without good deeds is dead. What good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith, but don't show it by your actions? Can that kind of faith save anyone? Suppose you see a brother or sister who has no food or clothing, and you say, goodbye, and have a good day, stay warm and eat well. But then you don't give that person any food or clothing. What good does that do? So you see, faith by itself isn't enough. Unless it produces good deeds, it is dead and useless. Now, someone may argue, some people have faith, others have good deeds. But I say, how can you show me your faith if you don't have good deeds? I will show you my faith by my good deeds. You say you have faith, for you believe there is one God. Good for you. Even the demons believe this, and they tremble in terror. How foolish. Can't you see that faith without good deeds is useless? Don't you remember that our ancestor Abraham was shown to be right with God by his actions when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see, his faith and his actions worked together. His actions made his faith complete. And so it happened just as the scriptures say, Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. He was even called the friend of God. So you see, we are shown to be right with God by what we do, not by faith alone. Rehab the prostitute is another example. She was shown to be right with God by her actions when she hid those messengers and sent them safely away by a different road. Just as the body is dead without breath, so also faith is dead without good works. He ends the reading from his works. Thanks be to God.
There's nothing complicated or clever about today's reflection. I simply want to share with you some reflections and memories I have of somebody whose path I crossed when I worked as a probationer minister in St Giles Cathedral in Edinburgh, way back in the early 90s. Cosimo was a vagrant who was already getting on in age when I worked there. He was Italian, he'd been a prisoner of war, and he'd ended up in Edinburgh after the war had ended. Rumour had it that he'd been a chef during his life, but somewhere along the line, things unravelled for him and changed, and he landed up choosing to live on the street, and with what was probably quite complex mental health problems. He would spend the nights very often in the shop doorways on Princes Street or on the steps to St Giles Cathedral, and he'd spend a good part of the day sleeping in a pew somewhere in the church where it was warm and dry. The Kirk session allowed Cosimo to use the church as his address, and it was by that means that he was able to receive benefits and support. The church looked after his money and gave him a daily and a weekly allowance. He was a fiercely independent man. He was also difficult, though, cantankerous, aggressive if challenged in any way. And by and large, he hated people looking at him or talking to him. So if anyone, and it was usually a visitor, tried to give him money, he absolutely went off the deep end and could become almost impossible to try and manage. He did, though, have sufficient money for his needs, and he was very often deeply and very loudly offended if people tried to be charitable. He wore every piece of clothing that he possessed, most memorably layers and layers of raincoats and packamacks, and his feet never left the confines of his one and only pair of wellies. His fingernails, as I remember, were beyond description, and he smelt truly awful. But having said all of that, there are three pictures of Cosimo that really stand out and remain in my mind. The first picture I have of Cosimo is at communion. There were five services in the church each Sunday, and more often than not, Cosimo would attend all five. The 10 o'clock service was a communion service, and the congregation would gather in relays in big circles around the communion table, which was in the centre. Communion in St Giles is always the common cup. Cosimo always wanted to receive communion. Cathedral staff, regular members, and the stewards on duty would make a discreet beeline to make sure that they were standing on either side of Cosimo so that they would be the first to take the loaf of bread and the cup after him as it came round the circle, and so that they would be the ones to exchange the handshake of peace with him after the elements were served. And they, of course, were the people that he knew. There were visitors to the cathedral who would stand in that circle and, not taking their eyes off of Cosimo, the disgust on their faces was sometimes quite evident and plain to see. The second picture I have of Cosimo was him coming into the church well before 8 o'clock in the morning, when the doors first opened for the day. We'd be standing outside on the steps, waiting for the doors to open. And entering the big empty church, he would make his way over to the big perspex offering box. Then, digging deep into the recesses of one of his carrier bags, he would bring out a purse, and he would drop two or three coins loudly into the box. After that, making his way from there down the central aisle, he would put down all his bags once again, and then he'd take out an ancient, filthy, dirty prayer book, and he would proceed to recite his prayers out loud, echoing and reverberating around the church, his prayers in Italian. Obviously, once content that he'd done that, he'd then shuffle his way to a corner of the building where he'd go to sleep in the relative comfort of a pew somewhere beside a warm heating pipe. Exactly the same routine every single morning in life. And the third picture I have of Cosimo was at a very small wedding. The cathedral had been emptied of visitors to allow the wedding to take place with some privacy. So present in a side chapel were the minister and the American bride and groom, accompanied by the church secretary and me, who were the witnesses standing away at the back. The ceremony was in full swing when there was a familiar shuffling and muttering. And out of a dark recess of the church came Cosimo, heading straight for the bridal party. Somewhere in a corner, he'd clearly been sleeping, and one way or another had been overlooked by the beadles when they'd been asking the visitors to leave. The minister looked over at us. We looked over at him. And we all knew that it was going to go one of two ways, and whichever way it went, it was about to be a memorable occasion, which it was, because Cosimo shuffled, complete with his assortment of bags, out of the darkness and into the light of the side chapel. He was smelling particularly unpleasant, but he was beaming from ear to ear. Three out of the five of us relaxed afresh. He walked right up to the bride and groom, and he stopped right in front of them. Then, rummaging at the bottom of one of his carrier bags, he pulled out a spectacularly battered and squashed Lion's sponge cake, still in its box, and presented it to the now thoroughly bewildered bride, who had the presence of mind and the grace to accept it with a smile of thanks. If she hadn't, there would most likely have been a scene. But then, apparently satisfied that his gift had been accepted in the spirit intended, Cosmo picked up his bags and wandered away to another part of the building. I used to see people in Edinburgh cross the road to avoid having to walk past this dirty, smelly old man. And I could read the disdain on the faces of some of the visitors who passed through the cathedral on a daily basis. What right had this vagrant to disrupt their visit to that beautiful building? The juxtaposition between human poverty and need on one side, looking them right in the eye sometimes, and the opulence and grandeur of a famous cathedral on the other, didn't always make for a comfortable balance. Had a visit to St. Giles been a genteel look around a beautiful museum where nothing challenged their consciences, nothing ugly or difficult got in the way of their living, nothing pricked their consciences, or served as a reminder of the way that some people have to live or choose to live, would have been so much more palatable a visit for some people. But that church was not and is not a museum. No church should be. It was a place where all sorts of aspects of human life played out. And it was the place, at least on paper for the purposes of benefits, that Cosmo called home. He was a very well-kent face in Edinburgh. When he died in 2001, that's 20 years ago now, his death was covered on Reporting Scotland by Sally Magnuson. "Capital mourns its gentleman tramp" was the headline of the time. So what did he teach me? Well, he taught me that the church can come up with creative solutions to supporting people on the margins of our communities, that we can't judge other people's lives, their faith, or their journey, that we have much more in common than with each other than we'd probably like to think, and that we too are a mixture of things cantankerous, generous, argumentative, and gracious. But especially he taught me that it takes a kind of discipline to look for the image of God, especially in the people in life who repel or repulse or anger or challenge us. But most fundamentally, it takes courage and faith to open our eyes to the reflections of ourselves that are there, undoubtedly, in the people around us. We are human first and foremost. Each and every one of us is a child of God.
And now let us offer to God our prayers for the world. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you have created a world of stunning beauty and grandeur, but also of challenges and risks. However, you also sent Jesus that he would not only show us the way to live, but also be on hand to respond to our faltering attempts at following in his path of truth. So hear us now as we bring our prayers of intercession, our prayers both for ourselves and for others. Lord, we pray for your worldwide church in all her different forms. Especially we pray for places where family, cultural and social pressures conspire to make being a Christian difficult. And we ask that those under such pressures are filled with your Holy Spirit and find inner strength to hold fast to your holy name. We pray for a world seemingly in never-ending conflict with itself, where once stable nations are in crisis due to factional divisions or struggles for justice and representation, or just a failure to live with others of a different culture or faith. Lord Jesus, you taught much about loving our neighbour and much about forgiveness. Help and guide those who try to ease the suffering of peoples caught in the middle of conflict, and of those who promote peace by seeking mediation and dialogue. We pray for those in greatest need in our own families and neighbourhoods. We think of the sick, the lonely, the housebound, and those at the margins of society. We pray for those who work in health care and social care, and all who give of their time as volunteers in so many caring and supporting roles. We ask that you bestow on them your gifts of patience, compassion, and understanding. And so, in the silence of our own hearts, we name those for whom we wish to pray, the sick, the lonely, the anxious, or those in some other special need. Living Lord, you call us to be partners in your world, sharing your sacrifice, sharing your love, sharing your life, sharing your forgiveness, sharing all these things with those you have placed alongside us on life's journey. Help us to travel on together, more sure of your love and life and forgiveness because of your sacrifice for each of us. And so, as Jesus taught his disciples, we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Thank you.
now may the blessing of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, rest upon you and remain with you and with people everywhere, now and always. Amen.